Sports, politics, life. Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Online at robertsrobinson.com.
Feels like it's been a long time since I've been this excited to watch Royals games and follow what they're doing on a daily basis, but after a four-game weekend sweep of the Chicago White Sox, the Royals are two games over 500. They have the best starting pitching in baseball. They just played a four-game series where they only allowed five runs to the opponent, and everybody up and down the lineup is pitching in. This is awesome stuff. More on this as we get the big lead coming up to start the week. On Eclipse Day, it is all brought to you on KKHI today by Aspen Wealth Management, one of our new sponsors, online at aspenwealth.com. Trevor and Tavis Holsinger would love to work with you and your family or you and your company about a corporate retirement plan management. It could be your personal financial concierge, investment management, taxes, insurance, financial planning, you name it, anything across the board. If you need to roll over a 401k or an IRA, they can help you with that. From one job to the next, they can help you decide what's the best plan for you within the new company versus what you have from the old company. Contact them at Aspen Wealth Management in Kansas City at 913-491-0500. Is Aspen the place for you? AspenWealth.com. Wow, I'm watching a lot of Royals baseball, and I'm calling my mom a lot, and we are talking on the phone, and she is loving these games, and this is fun. This is legit now. This is legit. It's only 10 games, right? They're only 10 games into the season, but it's legitimate baseball, and you can't watch this team and not be excited. I'm not going to predict they're going to win the division. I'm not going to predict they're going to the World Series. What I can tell you, and I will predict, is they're going to be a factor. They're going to hang around. This team is not going to circle the drain anytime soon, and we may get to a point in the summer, in June or July, where the Royals are like, if they still have a problem in the bullpen, where they might be making some moves to bring in a couple of real relievers or a closer that somebody's willing to trade, and you bring them in and you go, okay, now for the second half of the year, we're going to be even better because we've got somebody in the back end. On Sunday, it was Will Smith in the eighth and James MacArthur in the ninth. So Smith has lost his closing duties for now, but I think it's open tryouts in the bullpen. I think it's just going to be based on performance. The pitchers that pitch well are going to take over. When you're playing the White Sox, you can win games with this bullpen. We saw with the Orioles earlier in the week that it doesn't work that way. And against good teams, it's not going to work that way. The Royals bullpen is still an absolute train wreck that can be a season wrecker. I'm not sitting here telling you that they've solved anything. But the manager is open to having tryouts, I guess is the best possible word. They have no defined roles in this bullpen whatsoever. But it doesn't seem to matter. The Royals, almost every game seemed to have a lead, and on Sunday, they actually fell behind, but then MJ Melendez delivered a home run, which was a big deal because the Royals take the lead, and they haven't gotten too deep into the game. They still got three or four innings to go, so the bullpen still had to do its work, but it was great to watch the last two wins because it was not the top of the order doing it. It wasn't Bobby Witt. It wasn't Salvi. It wasn't Mikael Garcia. It's guys up and down the lineup, and on Sunday, Hunter Renfro hits a home run. MJ Melendez hits a home run, by the way. I was going to remind you in a few minutes anyway. I'll just do it right now. When MJ Melendez homers, our friends at Tickets for Less are giving away a $50 gift card and an autographed baseball. It's free. All you have to do is sign up at ticketsforless.com/contests. No purchase necessary. Every time MJ Melendez hits a home run, they're giving away $50 toward tickets, $50 free, and an autographed baseball. That's a heck of a deal. This is free. Just go to their website and sign up. It's ticketsforless.com/contests. Ticketsforless.com/contests. And every time MJ Melendez goes deep, you got a chance to win $50 and an autographed baseball. Pretty cool stuff. MJ Melendez had a big hit, big home run on Sunday. And it was somewhat controversial because it looked like about a 12 to 14-year-old boy was out there in right center field and reached over and caught the ball. There was no definitive review that he reached over the fence to catch it, so they couldn't overturn it. So the home run stood, and it became a big part of this game. The Royals are catching breaks. They're having good things happen for them. That's what happens when teams are hot. It's a viral video of Bobby Witt coming out of the dugout, back into the tunnel. Says, I told you, the boys are having fun. And he's like looking at the camera, and he's shouting. They're on a heater. Royals are on a heater. Now, they're off Monday. They got the Astros coming in, which is a fantastic organization, but they're off to a rough start this year. We'll see if the Royals can keep it up. The best part of all this is the starting pitching has been so good that the Royals stay in every game. The Astros come to town after the off day, and what do we got? Back to the top of the rotation, Cole Reagans will take the mound. We're going to go Reagans, Lugo, and Singer, three lights-out starters so far this year against the Astros. We've completely changed the way we're looking at the season. I'm no longer looking at the season as, oh, please don't just ruin our summer by starting 5-17. Okay, that's out. That's out. I expect the Royals to win 2 out of 3 from Houston. Okay, that's now the expectation. Win this series. Win 2 out of 3 against the Astros. You have your three best pitchers going. You're clearly going to be in each game. These guys are going to pitch. Maybe one of the three pitchers has a rough start. We're still waiting on a pitcher to have a bad start. It just isn't really existing. It's not there. Every game out, like a bad outing yesterday was the Royals gave up 3. Okay, I can live with that. You're in the game until the bottom of the 9th inning. Even if you're down 3-0, you're in the game. It's fantastic. It's so much fun to watch. They're playing with a good pace. We don't talk about it enough. They're talking a lot in baseball about pitchers' arm injuries, and they're wanting to blame the pitch clock. That's absurd. It's the way pitchers are pitching. It's the new grips. It's the fingernails on the ball and what it does and flexes the muscles in your forearms and throughout your arm, the way they're pitching. The grips on the ball are completely different than they've ever been. Clearly, to me anyway, that's what's leading to so many pitchers getting hurt. But the players still don't like the pitch clock. We don't talk about this enough. It is fundamentally changed watching a baseball game. Watching the Royals right now is really enjoyable. And most games, it's about a 2-hour and 20-minute commitment. You're in. Some games can drag out at the end. They still get a little bit slower. There's some pitching changes. But the pace of the game, you don't notice the pitch clock is there. The game just moves better. They've done it. They've made massive improvements to the sport. And, of course, it's more fun to watch when the Royals are winning, which is what they're doing. Also, sort of over the weekend, I think this was on Friday, the Royals owner, John Sherman, his wife, Marnie, just lit up the stadium issue in Kansas City. She set it on fire with a Facebook post. All right, the Royals are really mad at Jackson County. I don't think they're mad at the voters. I think they're mad at Jackson County. I think they're really mad at Frank White. I don't think they're particularly happy with Quentin Lucas. I don't think they feel like they got enough support from the mayor on this. So they're really upset that the vote didn't happen and they got to start over. And they all said, well, we'll keep working. And, you know, publicly they say all these right things. Well, the Chiefs publicly just immediately on Wednesday went and started meeting with officials from Kansas. Like right away, we're going to Kansas. We're talking to people in Kansas. We're doing this. So they're sending signals with a giant middle finger that we're going to explore all options. The Royals weren't quite that outlandish in their movements, but Marnie Sherman, the owner's wife, went to Facebook and she said, that's it. We're done with Jackson County. We are no longer talking to them, and we're never talking to Jackson County again about another vote. And neither are the Chiefs, she added on Facebook, which got people thinking, okay, if the Chiefs and Royals are both out with Jackson County, does that mean the Truman Sports Complex is doomed? That the entire thing is gone, and by 2030, there will be new homes for both teams, and those stadiums at the Truman Sports Complex will be razed, and we'll just have a giant empty parking lot. And they'll probably just build some apartments or something. We don't know, but that's certainly what she indicated. What the Royals owner's wife said was, we're done with Jackson County, and the Chiefs are done with Jackson County. And that's that. I found that very interesting. That leads me to believe that she knows the next move for the Royals is North Kansas City. Back to that site, see if they can get their own tax, their own vote in their own county, and go. If that happens, the Chiefs would have a choice to make. Do they stay at Arrowhead or are they going to Kansas? Because that would be the two options. I believe those would be the only two viable options for the Chiefs. Right now, the two most likely scenarios for the Chiefs are let the Royals figure their own thing out and go, then do their own standalone at Arrowhead Stadium for whatever it is that they want, or B, go to Kansas. And Kansas is lining up trying to get the Chiefs to move across the state line. So there's a lot of parts moving here, but it is notable, more than notable, that the owner's wife took to Facebook and said, we're done with Jackson County. We're done. We're not talking that now. That maybe she means they're going to go to the state of Missouri and they would still stay in Jackson County and want to go downtown. That's all possible. There's other ways to do it than with Jackson County. But I think what happened was they're so distraught and disgusted with the Jackson County officials after this vote. My guess is, if I know sports teams well, what they like to do is show you who's boss and leave your county. And that's what I think the Royals are leaning to doing right now, is leaving Jackson County. I think they're mad and they'd rather leave Jackson County, and they've got a great site just across the river. I said it from the start, of the two sites, the East Village and the North, the river, North Kansas City site to me was the best. That's Clay County and North Kansas City, separate entities, but it sounds like they'd be willing to bring the Royals there. And I think that would be a really unique ballpark village, ballpark area. I think there's a lot to like about that site. I think it still feels like you're in Kansas City, Missouri, in Kansas City, downtown-ish. To me, anyway, it does. And I can see the possibilities of the growth and the, you know, I think of like Wrigleyville in Chicago. That's what it would remind me of. I think I could see them building condominiums, businesses coming in, a ballpark village being built there. I could see all kinds of cool things happen in that area. I can envision that. The downtown thing looked like they were cramming it into me. I couldn't see it. I couldn't see the vision where they were looking downtown, and I never liked the East Village. That was a terrible spot, in my opinion. So it's on, and Marnie Sherman, the owner's wife, has said the Chiefs and the Royals are done. Just done. We're just done with Jackson County. We're out. Crazy stuff. We have the national championship game on Monday night, UConn and Purdue. This is Purdue's big man, Zach Edey, against Donovan Clingan from UConn. UConn had their hands full with Alabama on Saturday night. This was a good and wild game that UConn put them away and won by 14 or 16 in the end. Covered the spread, did everything. They've covered the spread in every game the entire tournament. If you've been riding UConn, you're crushing it. Purdue's been really good beating the spread too, and they did that on Saturday. So we've got a couple of teams that looked like at the start of the tournament that this was number one and number two. I mean, these were the two favored teams to be here, and they are here. And it's a great matchup. Yeah, I mean, I love Purdue. I love the way they play. I love the way they coach. I love a lot about Purdue, and they're a tremendous basketball team. But you just can't go against UConn. This team it's going to take a bad night for them to lose. I mean, UConn does like a B performance. They win. So here's the key stat when watching the championship game on Monday night. We don't like to get too deep into the weeds on these matchup things in any sport, really. But this is the key number. As the game is going along, if you watch the stats on the screen or if you look at them on your phone, watch UConn's field goal percentage. Because when they've shot less than 42% this year, UConn is 3-2. They're an average team under 42%. Purdue's defense allows 41% shooting. So Purdue's the best defense that UConn will have faced in this tournament. And it really isn't even close. So there is the number to watch. Watch the field goal percentage for UConn. They missed a bunch of shots on Saturday. They did. They still scored almost 90. What did they score, 86? They still scored 86, and they missed a lot of shots. But that's going to be the key, is the field goal percentage. It's been a fun NCAA tournament. One of the things that's fun every year for me is watching the NBA on TBS crew come over and do college basketball, which means Charles Barkley is doing college basketball. And by the sheer force of his likability and personality, he carries the pregame, halftime, postgame shows when they're on. When it's their show that's on, he carries it, even though he clearly does not follow college basketball. Nobody seems to care because everyone loves Barkley. And you know what? There's plenty of guys on that set that do follow college basketball. And the CBS crew's got Jay Wright and some of these other experts on there, and they do a great job. Barkley, being Barkley, is the best. And this did not go unnoticed with comedian and impersonator Frank Caliendo, who's a longtime friend of the show. He's been on my radio show many, many times. We played a long clip of him last week on a patron podcast. He did a radio appearance and was talking about a big number of things. But one of them was he just took over this radio show and said he wanted to talk about Charles Barkley calling college basketball.
Charles Barkley watches less college basketball than the average person. I mean, it's an unbelievable situation where he's the only guy who can do that, be totally unprepared, and it's better. right? It's, you watch him, he's like, what's the guy's name? He can't get names right. He's like, Flipadowski? It's Filipowski. Filipowski. Yeah. He's been one of the top college players all year. How do you say that, Ernie? Flipadowski? Filipowski. Oh, that's what I meant. Filipowski. Filipowski did a really nice job. You know. Then he passed it to the guy with the headband. You don't know any of the players. Is that number 75? There's no 75 out there. 75 had the headband with Flipadowski. None of those things are real.
Love that guy. Frank Caliendo, you may know him as the Madden guy. He is really good at what he does, and he's a really super nice guy and a good family man. And we really like the work of Frank Caliendo. Also in college basketball, Barkley not calling the women's games. A lot of reaction yesterday from the Caitlin Clark haters that they hated the broadcast of South Carolina going 38-0 and beating Iowa in the national championship game. Caitlin Clark had 30 points. She scored 18 in the first quarter. Then she finished with 30. South Carolina wins the game. They finished the season 38-0, one of the most remarkable college basketball seasons you'll ever see. Dawn Staley had a really nice thing, a speech to say on the court after the game, thanking and appreciating Caitlin Clark for elevating the sport and lifting the sport. She was talking about the TV ratings. She undoubtedly is talking about the pay raise she will get as TV ratings go up. These coaches are going to get rich in women's college basketball. If these ratings stay anywhere near where they were this year, all right, there's going to be money flooding in to the women's tournament because the ratings were really good. Now, Caitlin Clark can leave. She can go pro. She might be able to make more at Iowa than she would in the WNBA, so she could still come back. We'll see what happens. But South Carolina is just incredible. 38-0 is just a remarkable season. It also happened on a weekend where Lynette Woodard, the former Kansas Jayhawk great, took the stage at an event and said, Caitlin Clark didn't beat my scoring record. She's got her own scoring record. Now, this is 40 years ago or whatever. Lynette Woodard said, she didn't beat my scoring record. My scoring record stands. Because I played with a men's sized basketball and there was no 3-point line. My record stands. Don't tell me she beat my record. I am with Lynette Woodard. A lot of people are hammering on Lynette Woodard for saying this. She is absolutely right. When you take the emotion out of it, when you take the liberal sports media away from this Caitlin Clark women's basketball, this unbelievable surge in promotion for the sport and everything that we've been seeing, if you pull back from that and you say, okay, Lynette Woodard did play at a time where they didn't use a women's basketball, they used a men's basketball, which is bigger, harder to go through the hoop, harder to shoot with smaller hands, and there was no 3-point line. So every outside shot she ever made, she only got 2 for. She's right. These need to be recognized as separate scoring records. We can say pre-3-point line, modern era, you can call it whatever you want. Caitlin Clark can be the record holder, but she's really only the record holder since the 3-point shot. Let's be honest about it. That's the only fair way to have records. Of course, records are made to be broken, but I'm with Lynette Woodard, and a lot of people are just pounding on her, saying this is awful. And they're just all over her for saying this. She is right. Now, maybe it shouldn't be her saying it. Maybe it should be other people saying it. But I'm with Lynette Woodard. There's no comparison to when she played the game in Caitlin Clark. You don't compare those scoring records. You just don't. You don't and you can't. And I think she's right. So a little controversy in college basketball over the weekend. One other college basketball note, and this is a big note. We're expecting John Calipari on Monday to be named the head coach at Arkansas. This is crazy. He's leaving Kentucky for Arkansas after Chris Beard of Ole Miss and Jerome Tang of K-State apparently turned it down. Now we have to ask the question, were they working on Cal all along? Who knows? Doesn't matter. Looks like Arkansas is getting John Calipari. And somehow Jerry Jones was involved in this, the Cowboys owner, who's an Arkansas grad, and maybe put in a bunch of money or something to get John Calipari to Arkansas, away from Kentucky. Now, Kentucky fans aren't going to cry over this. A lot of Kentucky fans wanted him out, and Kentucky couldn't afford, well, they could afford to do it. They didn't have the stomach for it. They just weren't going to do it. The buyout was insane. It was going to cost way too much money, and so they were going to give Cal another year, but his time's up at Kentucky. Anybody can see that. So here we go. I'm guessing if he's going to Arkansas, what he's been told is by Jerry Jones, we're not only going to pay you, we're going to pay your players like nobody else in the country. And Jerry Jones is behind this, the owner of the Cowboys. This is going to get very, very interesting. And now that Chris Beard and Jerome Tang have turned it down, are either of them candidates for Arkansas? I'm sorry, for Kentucky. I would think Chris Beard would be. I don't think Jerome Tang would be. Although I'll tell you this. I know Mitch Barnhart. I grew up with him. He's the AD at Kentucky. He is a giant, I mean massive, Scott Drew fan at Baylor. Like massive. He make a run at Scott Drew, and maybe Kentucky is the kind of program that would get Scott Drew to leave Baylor. Maybe. What I don't know about Mitch Barnhart is if he's such a Scott Drew fan that he would be on Jerome Tang. But if Kentucky offers Jerome Tang the job, he's gone. He's going to leave K-State and go to Kentucky. He'd be crazy not to. He'd be crazy not to. So we'll keep our eye on that one. After Chris Beard and Jerome Tang turned down Arkansas, Calipari has left. So here's what happened. The USC coach went to SMU. The Arkansas coach went to USC. And the Kentucky coach went to Arkansas. And now Kentucky is open. Unbelievable. It is Masters Week. One of my favorite things of the week of the year is Masters Week. I just love it. We were watching something called Drive, Chip, and Putt yesterday, Jessica and I were, and a young man, an 11-year-old named Texas Terry, won his age group for the Drive, Chip, and Putt competition, which is at Augusta National. They have national competitions. It's like punt, pass, and kick. Then the finals are on the Sunday before the Masters, and these kids come to Augusta, and they hit a drive, and they chip one on the green, and then they putt, and they score this thing, and they have winners in each age category. It's kind of fun to watch. This kid's name is Texas Terry. That is his name. His first name is Texas. Because his mom said when he's born, he's going to have a personality the size of Texas. Turns out he does. This kid gets done after he wins, and he's like the best kid interview you've ever seen. I can't believe his name is Texas Terry. But let's shelf that for about a decade and remember the name. Because 10 years ago, a guy named Ajkay Bhatia competed in the drive, chip, and putt at Augusta National. And yesterday, Ajkay in San Antonio on the PGA Tour won the event. By winning the event, he won in a playoff. He qualified for the Masters, becoming the first participant of the kids' drive, chip, and putt at Augusta National to ever qualify and play in the Masters. That's really cool. That's Andy Reid throwing that ball and kicking that ball and doing all that stuff and becoming the Chiefs Super Bowl winning coach. That's what it is. And this is the golf edition of that. Ajkay Bhatia. Bhatia's caddy was on his bag yesterday, this week, for the very first time. And said when we're done, are we really going to Augusta? And Bhatia's like, yeah, we're in. We just qualified. Golf is so impossible and hard to win. And so cool when it happens. Life-changing event for those people. But he is a young player, really talented young player. And it was very dramatic, but it's cool. He qualified for the Masters at the last second. They are headed to Augusta National. He's got a caddy on his bag he's only been with for a week. And it came on the day a kid named Texas Terry won the drive, chip, and putt. I love me some golf and some Masters Week. KKHI wants to welcome Stroud's and Stroud's Catering to the podcast. At Oak Ridge Manor in the Northland and 135th and 69 Highway in Overland Park, Stroud's has been a staple in Kansas City since 1933. You want great pan-fried chicken? Stroud's is synonymous with Kansas City. All the sides are there. Their chicken-fried steak is to die for. Are you kidding me? It's Stroud's. It's one and only. Splurge. Go set yourself up and have a great dinner night at Stroud's. Oak Ridge Manor in the Northland, 135th and 69 Highway in Overland Park. And don't sleep on Stroud's Catering, because every time you have an event or you cater something, think about it. You're getting pizza, or I just did a thing with a taco bar. You can do the same old thing. Sandwich tray. Come on. Stroud's is where it's at. Stroudscatering.com. They'll even come to your outdoor event, bring their big pan fryers, and pan fry the chicken live right there at your event. The website is Stroudscatering.com. It's a completely different experience than other caterers. It's Stroud's. Have it for the office. Having an office party or catering in some lunch for a big business meeting, stroudscatering.com. corporate lunches, weddings, cast iron, pan-fired, on-site. Why settle for ordinary when you can have Stroud's at your event? StroudsCatering.com. Cross Kitchens KC is Kansas City's remodeler. You know the drill here with Tim Cross. What are you waiting on? Make the call. See what's possible in your home with even just a refresh, maybe new cabinets or new countertops. CrossKitchensKC.com. Earth Effects Outdoor. Oh, boy, is Kevin sore from the yard work this week. I did a whole bunch of it. I dug some holes, and we planted some stuff. And I would say I dug holes, except mostly what I did was chop roots and dig out rocks to put these things in. And I don't know if they're going to live or not, but we tried. I love doing some yard work and gardening and whatnot. We put a few things in, a couple of rose bushes. But we've also had Earth Effects build us some berms and bring in some tree cover and things like that and put lighting in our backyard, and we love it. They do a great job with any of those things, or they can do your spring cleanup for you. Anything literally outdoors they do, including outdoor bars, kitchens, built-in grills, ponds, waterfalls, fire pits, hardscapes, eeoutdoor.com. And North Kansas City Dental, that's really close to where the ballpark will be. North Kansas City Dental's Dr. Bill Bush. He is a proud sponsor of the Team Smiles golf event. Team Smiles is a wonderful program that has worked with hundreds of thousands of underserved youth to get free dental care. It's an unbelievable program, and he's the leading edge of this. He and Dustin Colquitt and some other people have been involved in this. They travel around the country, and they help kids everywhere. It's great. They do a lot of work right here in Kansas City at Arrowhead in the parking lot. They set up mobile dentistry there and do it there. NKCDental.com. And we'll be teaming up with Team Smiles in May at their golf tournament at the National in the Northland. Great stuff there. On to the news of the day. And Donald Trump has put out his position on abortion. And I love Trump. And I love what he came out, because it was when he came out, what he first said was great. What he said secondarily is kicking the can down the street. He came out and said, let's remember that the Dems are the radical people on abortion. They want to execute children after birth. This is a powerful message. It's a winning message. Everyone should hear it, because most Democrats, most people for abortion, don't know that this takes place. So he should keep pounding that. Then he said, essentially, whatever each state decides is fine with him. Okay? That's this. I'm telling you, this issue is a real problem politically for Republicans anywhere in the United States. I don't care what state it is. They're seeing trouble in Alabama and Mississippi over this now. There's trouble in Kansas over this, over these local laws. This is a losing issue for Republicans. And the leader of the party just said, I want no part of this issue. I'm not going to have a stance. I'm not going to do anything when elected. I'm going to leave it up to the states. So Trump is saying, I don't care what happens to people running for Congress. I don't care what happens to governors. I don't care what happens to people running for Senate. I'm running for president, and I'm taking a pass on this issue. That's bad. I had expected and in many ways hoped that he would come out, and maybe he will if he's elected. Maybe then he can just, maybe he can quietly, privately tell people what he's going to do. But we need a federal law. We need a law of the land, and we need this issue to be out of politics. It needs to go away forever. We need to decide as a society what our law is, and that's that. There's never been a law. Roe versus Wade was a Supreme Court decision. There's never been a law. The Democrats do not want to pass a law. If they pass a law, they don't have this issue come election time. They're against a law. The Democrats are literally against a law, because it will take the issue away. We need to take care of this, and I'm really disappointed that Trump has kicked the can down the street. But indeed, he has. Oh, I got a great clip from you. Over the weekend, Vivek Ramaswamy was posting clips of his speech that he gave. You've heard him say some things, and I think he's still on the short list for Trump VP. I think he might be a better chief of staff, but I really like Ramaswamy. I think he says things and gets you thinking about things that others don't. And one of the things he's continually pounded is that this is a 1776 moment, that this is a revolution taking place with all these people pouring in, elections being swung by this, no voter ID, all the things we're doing. You know, 42 of the 50 states don't require you to show an ID. It's insane what we're doing. We know the issues. We know what bothers us. We need to change it. Ramaswamy was on stage and he posted this clip on X, and I dumped it off and I want to play it for you because this is unbelievable. I've forgotten most of the history that I learned in class, in school, in whatever. And this is him backing up that this is a 1776 moment. He gave a history lesson on stage that this is not easy. That if we want to take our country back, there must be sacrifice. This will be hard. This isn't something that we can passively stand here and just say, okay, well, let's go get them in November. That you can't do that. That's kind of what Trump did with the abortion stance. He's just kind of passively saying, okay, well, fight them another day. We're kicking it down the road. Well, Ramaswamy won't have it. What he says right here is memorable. It's historic. This is all correct. This is a great history lesson in about 90 seconds. This is perfect for any American voter to hear, regardless of your party affiliation. This is important information about how we got where we are and what people did to get us here and how we are squandering it in our lives of luxury.
We often hear the good stories of our founding fathers. Sometimes it's worth pausing and remembering what actually happened to them. There were 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence. How did they do? What came of it? They pledged their honor, their lives, and their treasure. Five of them were captured by the British, tortured before they died. 12 of them had their homes ransacked, burned down. 2 of them had their own kids die in the Revolutionary War. 9 of them themselves died either directly in the Revolutionary War or as of the physical consequences of it. These were the people who set our country into motion. Now, they didn't have to do this because they had no other choice. Many of them were landowners. Many of them were merchants, farmers, successful people who could have lived good lives for themselves if it weren't for a country that was going to outlive them. So I say again, what does it mean to say we're in a 1776 moment now? It's easy to say. It's harder to live out. Imagine facing down our founding fathers, those 56 men, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Alexander Hamilton, John Jay, the people who made the sacrifices to give us what we enjoy today. We meet them in the afterlife. They look us in the eye and ask us, tell us the sacrifices that they made. And then look you in the eye and say, what sacrifice did you make to pass that country on to your kids? And when we get there, we better have a damn good answer ready for the sacrifices that we made for our country.
There's Vivek Ramaswamy, and I just love that. And I can't believe how spoiled we are, how soft we are, what we've allowed our country to become, the things that we do that we know are not good for us, and we do it, like no voter ID. This is an insane proposition. We're like the only place in the world that does this. Australia has no voter ID. There's a couple other countries, but almost everyone requires you to identify yourself to vote. And we have all these states that don't. It's just craziness. And Vivek Ramaswamy gave us a nice history lesson there. Joe Biden continues to massively suffer with young voters. Joe Biden has been doing his very best to try to pass more student loan forgiveness, thinking it will help him with young voters. Here's the raw numbers. If you're under 45, they polled Americans under 45. Under 45, Trump leads by 1. He leads with under 45. It's 18 to 45. Voters 18 to 45, Trump leads by 1. That's unbelievable. 18 to 29, which is really what the student loan forgiveness is about. 18 to 29, Biden has a 10-point lead. And you say, okay, well, he's got a 10-point lead. He won that category in 2020 by 24 points. He's lost 60% of his lead in 18 to 29-year-olds. So he's doing everything he can to forgive these student loans, thinking every kid I can touch and give money to or forgive their loan, they'll vote for me for that. It's buying votes. We know what it is. It's all Democrats have. That's their playbook. What is most disturbing to me is the experts are saying the reason he's polling so poorly is not the student loan thing. He's doing his best there. The reason he's polling so poorly with 18 to 29-year-olds is they've turned on him because he supports Israel. And I'm asking myself, what? There are not that many Palestinians in America. That's not what this is. This is white college kids that are being radicalized by their professors to side with terrorists, Hamas, over Israel. That's what this polling is reflecting. Biden's losing people because he's not supporting Hamas, the terrorists. It's unbelievable. Again, what is happening in this crazy land? That's what they're teaching on college campuses. There's I've always heard this, oh, there's anti-Semites everywhere. There's all this hatred toward Jews. I'm like, I don't know what that is. I've really tried to figure it out. Now I think I know. It's on college campuses. It's the professors. It's these wild, far-left, radical, progressive professors on campuses are the Jew haters? I didn't know that. I mean, like, I really literally didn't know that. They like the terrorists. They don't like the Jews. They don't like Israel. I'm confused, man. If you can try to figure out what a liberal supports and doesn't support, I wish you the very best of luck, because they are one perplexing being. That's where Biden is losing the young vote, is he doesn't support Hamas. What the heck? All right, we got a couple of finals here for you. First one brought to you by Advantage Termite and Pest Control. Make the call. Do it all. AdvantageTPC.com, 913-768-8989. Window World, simply the best for less. The official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs. Buddy of mine this weekend says he's got some problems with a couple of windows on his house. He's making the call this week to 816-799-0820. Also online at windowskansascity.com. Our first final is country star Morgan Wallen. Got in a little trouble on Sunday night. There's a new bar in downtown Nashville called Chiefs Bar, which Eric Church is a country star. He's nicknamed the Chief. So Chiefs Bar is his bar. They had the grand opening this weekend, and Morgan Wallen shows up because he's buddies with Eric Church. They got a song together that's out right now. It's good. I like Eric Church more than Morgan Wallen, but I like Morgan Wallen. I just think the dude's got some issues, man. I mean, he could do a podcast called Morgan Wallen Has Issues. He had the racism thing where he got blackballed by radio and for a year was not played on radio. Then he made this massive comeback and became the biggest star in country music, only to get in trouble again. He got arrested for disorderly. And then this weekend, at the grand opening of Eric Church Chiefs Bar in Nashville, Morgan Wallen was on the rooftop. There's a rooftop patio up there. So on the sixth floor, he's up there and he's doing his thing, getting drunk, doing whatever, and he throws a chair over the side. Chair goes flying down six stories and it lands luckily on the sidewalk and didn't hit anybody. But it did land right next to two of Nashville's finest. Two Nashville police officers jumped like crazy when that thing landed right next to them and immediately went into the building to find out who did it and arrested Morgan Wallen for chucking a chair. This is a felony charge of public endangerment. That's a real thing, throwing something six stories off a building. Morgan Wallen's in some heat here. You can try to plea this one down, but with his record of trouble, they may want to prosecute him on this one and teach him a lesson. Like, I'm pretty sure Rashee Rice is going to plead his down to where it's not the felony and the jail time that he could get in Texas law. I think he's in the right jurisdiction. I think he's got the Chiefs behind him. He's got the right people. I think that's going to get pled down and not be the full. I don't think there's going to be jail time for Rashee Rice. That's just me. Some people think he is. I think the lawyers will do their magic. Morgan Wallen on this one, throwing that chair, almost hitting two police officers. Woo! I'm all about a good time, Morgan Wallen. I'm sure you had a limousine driver that night. You weren't going to go drive or anything like that. You can't chuck chairs off the sixth floor of a rooftop patio. You just can't do it. I'm going to assume those chairs were not from Amini's, because those would be big, big chairs. They got big outdoor chairs at Amini's. You want some big, comfortable seating outside your home? Amini's is the place to be this spring, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park, also in St. Louis, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City. Or if the chair came hurling down and bounced on the ground and popped up and hit you in your mouth, you might need Dr. Jeremy Fry at Fry Orthodontics to straighten your smile. Morgan Wallen chucks a chair. It hits the ground, bounces up and hits you. You're calling Jeremy Fry. That's just what you're going to do. FryOrthodontics.com, 14 locations. Get your smile for life. Catered around your individual goals and less treatment. They eliminate excessive treatment at Fry Orthodontics. You're going to love the way they treat you. Teeth love us. You will too at FryOrthodontics.com, where your smile is just the start. Our second final is a tip of the cap to Karen Kornacki. 45 years in sports media, 41 on television at Channel 9 here in Kansas City. Karen Kornacki was one of the first female sports reporters in America. Very early on, when in Columbus, Ohio, she turned down an opportunity to start up at a fledgling outfit called ESPN. Said, no, I don't really know what cable is. I don't really know what that is. I'm going to stay right here. Then she takes a job in Kansas City, and she became a fixture in Kansas City, 41 years, most known for, I think, and she would tell you this, most happy and most known for covering sports that don't require a press pass. High school sports, feature stories. She's really good at telling a lot of those stories through the years and has told countless stories. Karen Kornacki is a strong Christian, a wonderful woman. She has a big heart. She was at times sort of not necessarily made fun of, but not really thought of to be in the club of reporters or whatever, the journalists, if you will. She was a hugger. She would hug players after they lost and things like that. It was strange to watch some of the things that she did through the years, because it's certainly nothing I would have done. I wouldn't be consoling players in a locker room after a game, but she did. There were players that she knew and that she knew their wives or whatever, especially when she was younger. And she got somewhat close to him. She got invited to a lot of charity events and society events around town. Karen Kornacki had a wonderful career. She never hurt anyone in her life. She's just a much nicer person than me. You know, I used to do edgy, hard stories, getting after people for, you know, like selling drugs to kids, things like that. She didn't aspire to do any of that, which is awesome and cool and fine. I think everybody in the media should be different and find their lane. And Karen Kornacki rode in a very sweet lane for 45 years. Congratulations, Karen, on your fabulous career. From all of us here that listen to KKHI, thank you so much. Hey, hit that like or follow button. Go to the kklist.com to support our sponsors. And do me a favor, sign up on X. You should be following Elon Musk at least on X, or a couple of conservative people on X, to get your news of the day. Or on Facebook, follow us at KK Has Issues. We'd love to be your Facebook friend or whatever. Get on Jessica. Flood Jessica with all your stuff. That's the place to go. You want to correspond with KKHI? Get on Facebook and just light Jessica up. She's in charge of that. Go get it on Facebook. KK Has Issues. We'd love to have more followers there. Like, follow, subscribe, whatever, on X, on Facebook. It's KK Has Issues.
Kevin Keatsman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.